The Bible chronology chart, line 1 from 4000 BC creation to the coming of Christ, 5 BC. And then the second line is an expansion of that, where we have a little more room to show the divided kingdom and the exile. And concerning the prophets, we're very concerned about that period because that's where the prophets are hovering around, prior and during and after the exile. Okay, and then the last line is the New Testament times. And you see the arrows going from eternity past to eternity future. So the Lord has created time, and there's going to be a time where he says the time will be no more. So there is a timeline. Now your second page on the back of that is just some statistics, and I added a column that you hadn't seen before, Halley's Bible Handbook. If you don't have that, is a very good handbook, H-A-L-L-E-Y. It's been around for years, printed many, many times. He gives some dates. The C stands for circa, about creation, about 4000 BC, and there, he has a statistic on all of those except for the birth of Christ. Again, you'll see different years for different scholars, but that's what he has. Then the next page is one we really haven't talked a lot about, but it is simplistic because I want you to be able to remember it. I took out a lot of the detail, and this is some Axum art. I'm very good at stick figures. Don't ask me to go beyond that. And we have creation, we have Adam and Eve, and then we have the fall. What I told you about the fallacy of this thing is we can't show how tragic some of these things are on here. You have a little ark there. It was a gigantic boat, by the way, 3 football fields long or so. They didn't build a ship that big until late into the 1800s. And there were 8 people on it. That was a tragedy of sin and also a blessing of grace, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And his 3 sons and their wives were on this vessel along with the animals. I read this week about how the Lord is so patient that he even waited for the snail to get on the ark. So just a little extra there. You have the Tower of Babel. I didn't put a tower there, but I have it risen above. And then we have Abraham. And we're pointing out here particularly those whom covenants were made with. Covenant with Adam, the covenant of works made with Adam, in which he transgressed. Covenant of grace made with Abraham. And then the Mosaic covenant following after that, which did not overturn the covenant given to Abraham. It was added because of transgressions. It was added to show the sin of the people and also to bind the Israelites together into the coming of Christ. And then the covenant made with David, that there would be one sitting upon the throne coming from his loins. And then this next graphic here is indicating the division. In David's time, you have a united kingdom, right? Solomon sinned, and God rent the kingdom. And if you look at the front page of Kings and Prophets, you'll see that. So there you see the united kingdom at the front, under Saul, David, and Solomon. And then, because of Solomon's sin, it was rent and divided, and that's what that graphic is indicating there, a division. There's a little space after that where there is just one line, and that's a single kingdom. And then we have that, those parallel lines going in the vertical direction. That's indicating the 70 years. You could write in 70 there if you wanted to. 70 years of exile, 606 to 536 BC in Babylon. Which nation did God use to destroy the northern kingdom in 722 or 721? Assyria. And then the Babylonian exile is that parallel lines up and down. The next line begins with the exile again. And then you have the rebuilding of the temple and the wall, the coming of Christ, the New Testament period, and then these arrows indicate, Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, that we are going to rise with Christ. I don't put a time period on that. just at his coming. And then the next arrow says we're going to come with him. He's going to return with his saints. So we're going to rise with him. We're going to come back with him. And there will be a judgment. The sheep will be separated from the goats. And the resurrection, the general resurrection will occur. And then we have eternity where the saints will be with the Lord, wherever that might be, a new heavens and a new earth. And those without him will be consigned to the lake of fire and unthinkable miseries. So we base this timeline upon which chapter of the New Testament? Took you there twice. Matthew chapter 1. You remember there were from Abraham to David, 14 generations. From David to the carrying away of Babylon, 14 generations. From the carrying Babylon to Christ, 14 generations. And that's sort of the layout of this. And I put from creation to Abraham. I added that period. That's understood. But we had to get Abraham created and all that went before. Now, it's very interesting to me. Someone said, God wrote the Bible unlike any man would ever write it. How do we know that? Well, he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many libraries are there in astronomy? We just spent a lot longer trying to figure out a lot more about this heavens and the earth. Well, why does God move so quickly from something so glorious as that, so detailed as that? Why does he move so quickly from it? What? That's not where the emphasis lies in the scripture, right? Where is the emphasis going to lie? Where does he start spending a lot of time? Got 7 days of creation, right? Surely we could spend a long time on the insects. There's who knows how many species of insects he made. I mean, people live their whole life studying these insects in Costa Rica, finding new species. That's not the emphasis. Where does God begin spending time? What? Created man, okay? Begins spending a lot more time talking about Adam and Eve and the relationship of Adam and Eve and what he says to them, what they say to him, how they're tempted, how they fall. So this is a book not about stars. This is a book about man. A book about his fall and then what is the next great emphasis of the scripture? Redemption. Glory. Hallelujah. And so, and also the way he wrote his book. We know there's about 1,800 years between Adam and Noah. How many chapters does he spend going from Adam to Noah? Which chapter do we find Noah found? Well, which chapter of Genesis do we start hearing about Noah? 6. 1,800 years, boom, in a blink of the eye, Lord just blows by it. You know, his emphases are very precise. And he is going, I wonder why he didn't spend more time in those 1,800 years. Well, where is all of this going to? We got redemption, right? What? Well, you better believe downhill. First you have Adam and Eve's fall, and then every conceivable thought that man and women had was on evil continually. All the thoughts and intents of their heart on evil continually. Now, has mankind got any better? Not at all. Same lump, same lost humanity. And so here the Lord blows by 1,800 years in 5 chapters, and he comes to Noah. What is there about Noah that he's judging the world, but what else are we to see in Noah? Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is a book about grace, and Noah found grace, and he has this great picture of Noah, this redemption, Christ our ark, right? Yes. I think I can say for certain one was saved, Shem. The other two, I don't know. There's some real questions about one of them's behavior. Ham and Canaan, who came from him, is there's some great iniquity. I don't see a lot of repentance, but I don't know. Really don't. We can't argue from silence. But we know they were temporarily saved. And so maybe on that ark there were wheat and tares. I don't know. Love to think they were all wheat. Good question. So, by the time you get to Abraham, which chapter of Genesis do we begin discussing Abraham? And the promises of Abraham. He appears in one chapter, but when we really get down to the promises, it's in Noah's in chapter 6. 6 times 2 is 12. Chapter 12 are all the promises of Abraham. And so God is moving very quickly in what's called like the prologue. This is like the introduction. How are we going to get to where we're going? I'm going to raise up Abraham. Well, what is Abraham? The first what? The first Israelite, Hebrew, first Jew, first of God's new family, right? And he was given a promise that from you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I'll make of you a great nation, and promised him many promises. So you have so much of the timeline is years without us knowing anything. Just time was rolling on. And then Abraham comes on the scene, and you have a lot more of God revealing this redemption through Abraham, David, and so forth. And all of it pressing to the Lord Jesus. So, that is that Bible timeline with some graphics. Now, the next page. I remember last week I scared some of you with a quiz you were going to have today. We're going to cancel the quiz. The reason why we're not going to have the quiz today is because you need more time to study. We need to think about this. Good teacher gives you time, a chance to review. He's merciful. Now, I hope to be that teacher someday. So we're going to be merciful, and we're not going to have a quiz. Now, why would you ever want a quiz in Sunday school? Well, the only reason is because you need to know some things. You know, if you don't press yourself, you may not learn. And so I think that if we study other things and learn other things, we should really study the scriptures to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we have 16 prophets in the Old Testament, and we said they hover around this exile period. We have pre-exilic prophets, exilic, those during the exile, and then post-exilic prophets. And we're going to fill this in above by using sort of the questions below. So we don't fill in the review right now unless you did happen to put that to memory. But let's begin with our first question below. Which prophet prophesied during the reigns of, and I left the two kings out, 2 years before the great earthquake? It didn't get printed out there. He prophesied to the nations round about Judah and Israel, and then takes Israel to task, and then provides a great hope of restoration at the end of his book. Does anybody know who that prophet could be? Please turn to Amos. Amos. What my goal is today is twofold. Number one, I want each of these 16 prophets to, you have something about them that you can sort of tie to that prophet and remember what it's about. And also then to put it in its particular period. Did it come before the exile? Did this prophet come during the exile or after the exile? Knowing that helps you understand what he is talking about in his prophecies. Amos chapter 1. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah. There's your first blank. In the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Now it's interesting, they date the earthquake at 758 to 755 BC. That's just something that they knew happened. It's an earthquake so great that Zechariah actually talks about it in his book. You know, it's sort of like Katrina. We will always date something from Katrina. 2005, was it pre-Katrina, post-Katrina? It's like the Twin Towers. Was it before 2001, after 2001? There was such an earthquake that everybody knew about that. And so if you want to date something, he was giving his prophecy 2 years before the earthquake. So it's believed his prophecies were about 760 BC to 757 BC. And during the reigns of two kings. So since he's giving two kings here, this prophet is in which period? Well, the pre-exilic period, but there's two parts of the pre-exilic period. If you look at your timeline on page one, on the front page, you notice that at the year 1000, that's David, okay? And that's the United Kingdom. And then you have a divided kingdom, 760 BC would come in that time where there are two kingdoms. And he prophesied during the reign of Uzziah, who, that's this one right here. See your division? You got two kingdoms going on here. The divided kingdom. Everybody got that page? You got Uzziah, king of Judah. He was king for 52 years. Now Jeroboam, you could call him Jeroboam the second. Who was the first Jeroboam? First king of the northern kingdom. And he was a man that God gave great options to. He pretty much said, if you will obey me, I'll bless you. Southern kingdom, I mean, you know, I will bless you with the blessings of Abraham, basically, is what he told him. And Jeroboam immediately said, well, we got a problem. We're in the north, Jerusalem's down there in the south. If my people go down there, they won't honor me as much. And so he, in his pride, set up Baals, two places for them to worship outside of Jerusalem. And he began a reign of 19 kings, all of them who were evil. Well, down the road, there was another one named Jeroboam. That's this Jeroboam, Jeroboam the second. And so it wasn't that first one, but the son of Joash. Now, so that's number one. If you go ahead and put that in number one, and there are questions as to whether he was the first prophet during that period, but he is in the pre-exilic time where there is a divided kingdom. This is before 721. You have both a northern kingdom of 10 tribes and a southern kingdom with Judah and the Levites. While we're in Amos, and eventually we're going to go to overviews of each of these books, but I want to show you where this book goes. There's a lot of judgment in this book. Comes to the last chapter, if you'll turn over there. Chapter 9 of Amos. Verse 11 says, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the Gentiles are called by my name, says the Lord, who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. That's a long time to wait in the book of Amos for some really encouraging words, but that's he is a great prophet of judgment. He's not only a prophet of judgment to Judah and Israel, primarily Israel, but to the nations, and we'll study that when we go to this book. I'd like for you to go over to Acts chapter 15. Verse 6, there is a council in Jerusalem, a question about the Gentiles being converted and what is required of them. Verse 6, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You remember God sent him to Cornelius to speak to this Gentile. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, giving the Holy Spirit to Gentiles, just as he gave them to us Jews, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? And that yoke being the Old Testament civil law and the laws that were applied to the Old Testament Jew and not to the New Testament Christian. So let's not put this yoke on them. Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. And now he's going to quote from Amos. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind might seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Now, we're not going to be able to have time today to take each of the prophets and show you a passage quoted from them in the New Testament. Some of them do not have New Testament quotations. Many of them do. But I want you to see this in the first one and how these prophets are going to provide the foundation in many ways of the things said in the New, or examples of things taught in the New Testament. And here you have both Jew and Gentile brought together in a tabernacle that's being built up again, the church. The New Testament teaching us what the Old Testament meant. Any questions about their use of this prophecy in Amos and what James was seeing? He was seeing Jews and Gentiles being brought together in one body, and he said, this is what is being fulfilled from the Old Testament. The tabernacle of David is being raised up again. Here is the church, the tabernacle where the Lord will live. We will be his people. He will be our God. Any questions? Okay, let's go back to page 4 of that handout. Number 2, this prophet was given a second chance to prophesy to Nineveh, saw great revival and needed much love shown and taught to himself or to him. Which one? Jonah. And you'll put him over there. He is also one of these pre-exilic divided kingdom prophets. And it's possible that he actually prophesied before Amos. Some have him a little after Amos, some before. If you'll put him there. Number 3. This prophet was required of the Lord to marry a woman of harlotries, to teach Israel of her harlotries against the Lord. Hosea. Now, there's all sorts of argumentation about what that really meant that he had to do. Did she become a harlot after he married her? Was she a harlot before? I think if you read carefully, it looks like she already was. And then she went and produced yet more harlotries. But here we have... That's not an example for us. That's what God told him to do. And that's where there's so much question about this. So then, number 3 is Hosea, if you'll fill that in there. And then up here at the top, put Hosea there. And notice there's an asterisk beside number 3. Up at the top, it says, note, 4 of these prophets are mentioned twice. This prophet, Hosea, not only prophesied in the divided kingdom, but he prophesied through the period where Assyria came in, destroyed the northern kingdom, and then he prophesied into the southern kingdom as well, because he prophesied during the reign of Hezekiah, who was after the taking away of the northern kingdom. Number four, this prophet spoke most of the suffering servant, and of all the prophets was quoted most by the New Testament. You said Isaiah. Now, I'd like for you to note something about these two prophets. If you'll go to Isaiah and Hosea. Got two places to turn to. Hold your place at Isaiah and Hosea. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz," that's not Amos, son of Amoz, "which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah." You heard of that king before with Amos. Uzziah, but he goes on into the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. If you flip over then to Hosea. Chapter 1. Remember those four kings? He says, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah." So you see, these two prophets were concurrent. The big difference between the two is Hosea's word was mainly to the northern kingdom, and Isaiah's, though it applied to the north and he spoke to the north, was mainly to the southern kingdom. So that was number four, Isaiah. Number five, this prophet prophesied during the time of the prophet in question four, that's during Isaiah's time, and proclaimed that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Which prophet prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem? Micah. Let me read to you Micah chapter 1. Listen for the kings with whom, in whose reigns he preached. "The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah." Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. You notice with Micah, it doesn't mention Uzziah. So he came just a little bit after Isaiah, but he prophesied through that time. And frankly, Micah is sort of a mini Isaiah, the way it is written. And he did prophesy of Jesus coming from Bethlehem. So that's number five. All three of those have asterisks. And so you can just go over to the second column there and fill those in yet again. Number one, two, and three, Isaiah. I'm sorry, Hosea, Isaiah, and Micah also prophesied into the pre-exilic time where there was simply a single kingdom, just Judah remained between about 720 and 606. Okay, we're on number six below, which will help us to fill in one of the lines above. Number six, this prophet. Now, let's get the answer first before we fill anything above. Number six, this prophet prophesied concerning the judgment of Edom. It is difficult to date this prophet. Okay, since I said it's difficult to date this prophet, you notice I have two prophets with question marks. That either these two came before the Assyrians and the Babylonians, or they came after the Assyrians and the Babylonians. At a time where no kings were mentioned, possibly, because there were maybe no kings at that time. So There was a time where Athaliah was, a woman was actually reigning in Israel, and there was no king at that particular point. Some put him in that period of time. Others have them later after there are no kings in Israel. So which of those two, either Joel or Obadiah, is the one who prophesied concerning the judgment of Edom? Okay, this is the way I remember it. Obadiah begins with an O. Edom has an O in it. That's just the way I remember it. That's not in the Bible now. That's just in Axum's brain. Might be in yours too, but just helps me remember. What in the world is this Obadiah speaking about? Edom. And his judgment of that nation. Number seven. This prophet prophesied of the final destruction of Nineveh. Nineveh starts with an N. This prophet's name starts with an N. It's not Nehemiah. It's Nahum. And you can fill that in at number four above there. Nahum. Nineveh was actually destroyed in 612 BC. And he prophesied sometime before that. Number eight, this prophet prophesied much concerning the day of the Lord during the reign of Josiah. This is going to be a tough one for you. I'll give you a hint. His name starts with a Z. Zephaniah. You put that in number five above there. Josiah is a great king. Wonderful study of his life. We'll pick that up as we study Zephaniah. Number nine, this prophet also prophesied much concerning the day of the Lord. Dating this prophet is also difficult. Prophesied much concerning the day of the Lord. So who would this one be? Joel. Both Zephaniah and Joel spoke much of the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is a term used by many of the prophets, but it's more concentrated in these two books of Zephaniah and Joel. So in number six above, you'll put Joel. No, you won't. Joel's already mentioned. Forgive me. That's not right. Erase that. Okay, reviewing up above, in the second column, you should have Hosea, then you have Isaiah, then you have Micah, and then you have Nahum, Zephaniah, and we're now going to fill in number six with the next question. Number 10, this prophet questioned the Lord concerning evil and judgment. He was a contemporary of Jeremiah. Habakkuk. Remember that book. He's got all these questions for the Lord, and the Lord has great answers for him. How in the world can you use an evil nation to judge your people? He says, because my people have turned away from me, and I will deal with that nation. I will judge that nation as well. So he used the Babylonians as a scourge upon his people who had sinned against him, and that's Habakkuk's message. So number 10 below will be written in as number 6 in the second column. And then number 11 here, this prophet prophesied before and during the exile. He is the prophet of the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, the new covenant. So Jeremiah is that number 7 there with an asterisk. And you notice in the next column we go into the exilic prophets. He also prophesied during the exile. He was in Jerusalem and also was taken to Egypt against his prophecies. He promised them if they took him to Egypt, there'd be judgment. And there was. So Jeremiah will be the first one in the exilic prophets. That's the fourth column. Number 12. This prophet was carried away to Babylon as a young man. His book is half prophetic history, half apocalyptic. Daniel. I'm praying for our two baptism candidates today that they will be like Daniel and all the days of their life serve him. We do not see a single sin indicated in the lives of Daniel in his life. It's not written in the scriptures. We know he was a sinner. It's just that God didn't record it. And he served many kings and many nations. So he's number two in that third column. And then this next one, number 13, this prophet was carried away in the second wave to Babylon. That would have been 597 BC. He saw apocalyptic visions and was given prophetic signs. He prophesied to the bones. Ezekiel. So we have the exilic prophets filled in now as Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. Number 14, this prophet preached against the sin of putting one's own needs before that of the kingdom. He encouraged those rebuilding the temple. He said, you're sealing your own houses and the Lord's house is not sealed. Which prophet? Starts with an H, not Habakkuk. Haggai, H. Let's see. H-A-G-G-A-I, Haggai. Number 15, this prophet also encouraged those rebuilding the temple. He was given many prophetic pictures. Zechariah, we mentioned him as having mentioned the earthquake. Many wonderful pictures of Christ in that book and quoted often in the New Testament. And so he'll be number two on the far right. And then number 16, this prophet prophesied just prior to the 400 silent years and prepared Israel for the coming of the Lord. Prophesied of John the Baptist's coming. Malachi. Okay, you have that filled out. I will not promise you a quiz next week. In fact, I'll promise you won't have a quiz because I will be in Ball, Louisiana, picking up where Billy left off. They have someone else preaching today. I'm not sure who that would be. I'll preach next week, and then Billy will preach two more weeks and follow what I've been teaching there. So I assume Brother Fred will be teaching next week, and he won't have a quiz for you. Okay. Take your second hand up, please. Kings and prophets. Now, this is looking at it from sort of a different perspective. It's the same thing. You have the United Kingdom. Of course, Saul was the king after the people's heart, right? David was the king after God's own heart. And Solomon was a wise king who departed from the Lord. We believe that he came back to the Lord because of the book of what? Ecclesiastes, book of repentance. And you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. There's the Jeroboam one, okay? And you have Rehoboam. Their names rhyme. They were blood kin as cousins, as Israelites, but they weren't like brothers. So you have Jeroboam was king, son of Solomon. And Jeroboam was simply raised up for that purpose of leading the north. And so you're going to have all these kings coming down here in the north. You see Jeroboam the second down there on the left-hand side. Okay, if you slide over a little bit to the right, you see Amos there. Remember, Amos was prophesying during the time of Jeroboam the second. You go to the far right, you see Uzziah. Are you with me? So on the left and the right, you have the kings, and down the middle, you have the prophets. And you notice Elijah and Elisha are mentioned here. This has prophets who didn't write out their books for us. We know they were prophets. At least you know where they were coming. And this particular author believes that Jonah was before Amos. That's fine. During the reign of Jeroboam II as well. And Uzziah, but his book doesn't mention Uzziah or Jeroboam II. We know from the Kings that Jonah, or it could have been the Chronicles, that Jonah prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam II. As we go down here, you see, let's look at your first column. Your first column's got five names in it, right? Okay, look at the five prophets. You see the Amos, you see Jonah, you see Isaiah, and Micah, right? You see all those five? See how they're tracking together? You see how Micah comes a little bit after Isaiah because he was not during the time of Uzziah? Does that make sense? Just want to make sure you know how to read this as you're going back through it and getting another picture, another way of looking at these kings and prophets. Any questions about what you're seeing there on that page? Y'all are straight A students so far, right? Y'all got it. Yes. Broken lines?
Yes.
Yeah, those are called, they're co-reigns, if you will. Dual reigns. You have a son and a father ruling at the same time. That's the way that worked. Sometimes the father's getting too old, so the son's still alive, and the father's still alive, so the son picks up, or the son's too young, and so, you know, and the father's old, and he reigns with him for a time. You have that in the case of, look to the right, you see, Uzziah. Uzziah reigned also with his father Amaziah for some time. But also as he got older and he actually had, what happened in the latter part of his years? He went into the temple. He was going to burn incense. 80 prophets said, don't do this. He said, I'm doing it anyway. And God did what? Struck him with leprosy. He had to go stay in his own place. He was not much of a king at that point. His son Jotham had to take over. So those are co-regnum periods, co-rulerships. So that's why they're broken like that. Go to the next page. And you see, carrying down from the previous, kind of previous page, you have the Micah and the Isaiah going into the reign of Hezekiah. And also, Hosea is carried in there. I disagree with the author here in that the far left hash should go down into the reign of Hezekiah because it actually mentions Hezekiah. He has it stopping in Ahaz. So that, I didn't take my little pencil and put a few dots there, but I guarantee you, if you read the scriptures, he prophesied into the reign of Hezekiah. So that really needs to be pulled down a little bit, that first left line. And then you come into... you see here Nahum and Zephaniah and Jeremiah from your single kingdom period. And you see Jeremiah prophesying into the exile. You see Habakkuk and Obadiah. Some of these are, remember you have three periods where Israel is going into exile, 606, 597, and 586. There's three waves where the Israelites are taken away. And so that's why you have these prophets here prophesying as they are. Habakkuk co-prophesying with Jeremiah of the exile. And they have Obadiah with a question there, Joel with a question, so forth. I'll let you study that further. Try to hang on to these and come in 2 weeks, the Lord willing, and I will be here with you and we'll study further. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can give our hearts to you. Thankful that you have given Jesus Christ as the prophet, the priest, and the king for all of eternity. We praise you, Lord, for our salvation in him. Lord, that all these prophets proclaimed of his sufferings and of the glory that is revealed in Christ. Lord, let our hearts be ravished with you today. Let us turn our minds and our thoughts to you in every possible way, Lord, from our sins, from this world, from our own cares and concerns, Lord, to your word and to your ways. We pray again, Father, for Charles and for Elizabeth, that you would bless them mightily, watch over them, help us to help them along their way in this life as they seek to serve Jesus Christ. We pray for Fred and Debbie, you would bless them and keep them and watch over them, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.